Looking back, you guys wrapped up the session a couple of weeks ago. As you look back now, how would you describe this last session in Jeff City?
Better than I thought it would be when we started. When we started the session, I didn't know if we were actually going to get much done except the budget, which we're constitutionally required to do. But it was a struggle to get it done. Of course, we've had, several years in a row here where we've had tight budgets and unfortunately had to make some cuts. But we got the budget done, and one of the bills that I worked very hard on and have the last couple of years was a veterans funding bill to help our veterans. Their capital improvement fund was going to be defunct in 2013, but we were able to establish a funding source for them. Actually, it was developed back in 1992 when the gaming boats came into Missouri, and we actually just put it back to that. We took early childhood away from that. We actually separated it. The veterans were intended, like I say, initially to get the gaming entry fee. And education is to get all the lottery proceeds. But then we supplement the lottery proceeds with tobacco funds, settlement funds. So hopefully we've shored up education, and of course we've got the funding stream that the veterans need. At one time they had over $68 million, I believe, in that fund, and then next year it would be defunct. So it was a critical time. The governor's already signed it. Actually, I had two veterans bills, and the governor signed them both a week before last.
How solid is the budget that you passed in Jefferson City?
We're over expectations on income right now. So I am hoping that it is good, and I really hope the economy turns around. Of course, so much of what we depend on is based on what foreign countries do. And I read an article this morning that Greece or one of those countries over there. I know Spain's not doing very good either. When you look at the world financial market, things can change.
I believe a portion of, and you kind of touched on it there, relies on the lottery, and that's education and such. Does it require a large growth in the lottery? I mean, and is, if so, is that feasible?
On that lottery issue, we did. We looked at several alternatives to that. The first alternative we came up with was reducing payouts. Right now, Missouri Lottery is paying 62.9% back out. They're only required by the Constitution to pay 45%. There's a number of ways that they can increase that. My initial thoughts was to reduce the payout. There's some thoughts saying no, increase it. There's a whole different way that they can go about that. I think that can boost some of the state's income in that.
There's been a lot of talk about tax credits, how you fund them, too much maybe being funded, the future of tax credits. How do they play into the budget talks?
There are some senators and probably some representatives that are totally against any tax credits. Now, I'm for a review of tax credits. There are some that, of course, stimulate jobs and business, especially the ag tax credits. I'm very familiar with those. They work when they add value to a Missouri-grown product. It stimulates the economy and the jobs, and not only for that local area, but generally you're looking at a 60-mile radius. Now, we've got other tax credits that maybe don't provide an income back to the state. Now, the low-income housing tax credits don't really provide an income, but, here at this meeting today, one thing we've got to realize is people can't be worried about where they're going to be living if they're going to be holding down a good job.
Do you ever expect there to be a full review of every single tax credit at the same time, or is it just going to be kind of a piecemeal thing?
I don't believe could do them all at one time. I think what we've looked at in the past is doing a five-year rotating basis on the tax credits, like having them expire, a five-year expiration date put on them, and have them come in and present the case on, you know, the return to the state and if they are working, doing what they said they're supposed to do.
You mentioned early on that you didn't know what to expect early in the session. Why was that?
Well, the Senate is a whole different, it's a whole different world than what the House was. And we've had, and it was referred to as a group of nine in the Senate that actually held up a lot of legislation this year. Actually filibustered my veterans bill for 11 hours. And they were holding it up as hostage to some things they wanted in the budget. Now, once we got that squared away, when it did finally come up for a vote on that Wednesday, it passed unanimous. But when you get three senators determined to stop something, they can do that, unlike as it is in the House.
How did it change toward the end where you say that you actually got more done than what you thought?
Well, we were able to work together, and actually I told the House, I told the budget people to go ahead and put an amendment on a bill that was in the House and send it over with the veterans' language on it. That prompted this group of nine that we did have another alternative to get things moving. And once we broke that logjam, actually things broke loose and we got quite a bit done in the last week of session.
How much in Jefferson City is there working across the aisle? I mean, the Republicans hold such a high majority, but how much is there where people can cross the aisle on issues?
Actually, you'll see in the Senate, there's a lot of working across the aisle, more so than in the House. In the House, it is pretty partisan, but in the Senate, my committee members, the minority members that served on my Ag Committee, were great to work with, and in the Senate, it seems like we just work on issues more than partisanship.
You mentioned the number one priority is jobs. What can Northeast Missouri residents see from Jefferson City this year that helps in the effort to bring in jobs?
Well, with the economy, we're a little stagnant on actually throwing a lot of money at jobs. However, you know, we do have the Department of Economic Development that's looking to do things. I know we've got these WIB boards trying to work with getting people back to work or retrained. Trying to do some of those developments. You know, like I said earlier, infrastructure is the key. And one thing we've got in Northeast Missouri is a lot of new roads, which I don't look for any more construction, but we are blessed to have Highway 61 or 27, Highway 36 or 110, Highway 63, four-laned from Kirksville south, and I think Northeast Missouri's posed. As soon as the economy turns around, I think we're in a good shape to bring jobs to Northeast Missouri.
I believe Governor Nixon had mentioned one of his disappointments was on legislation to try to recruit auto suppliers and really not making steam on that. What happened with that?
Well, it got bogged down with the economy. Now, as I talked to some of our suppliers, they're actually keeping very busy. And we do have a number of suppliers currently here in Northeast Missouri. So, we were fortunate to have or keep two of our large automakers here in Missouri. So hopefully our suppliers that we do have, actually one of them's looking at a little expansion. So, and like I say, I think Northeast Missouri would be a great place for that to happen.
How did education fare this year during the session?
We had some bills that I wish would have gotten through that would have helped. Got bogged down at the last week. Education is pretty much stagnant, and that's really where it stayed. We only got one bill through that dealt with education. We had two more. The real thing that I saw, though, was Kansas City has some very serious problems. St. Louis has some very serious problems. In outstate Missouri, we're doing pretty good. I mean, as far as educating students. We've got unaccredited schools in Kansas City and unaccredited schools in St. Louis. The trouble is, the fix Kansas City needs, St. Louis doesn't want, and the fix St. Louis wants is what won't help Kansas City. And I don't want either one of them in rural Missouri. So we're a very diverse state, and unfortunately we didn't get any of those bills, those two bills through.
What education would you have liked to have seen addressed? What did you support that didn't make it through?
Well, I think State Department of Education needs to be able to step in a little quicker, I believe, in some of these cases where the schools become unaccredited, to hopefully head off problems that you would have if you go into an unaccredited situation for 2 years, which is what it is before DESE can actually step in. They would actually set up a board that, a state board that actually goes in and takes the local politics out of it. And I think that would have been a good thing to alleviate some of those problems that we have.
Where are we at with the funding formula? I've talked to a number of Northeast Missouri districts that have been worried about that, hoping for something out of Jefferson City. Where did we get?
Well, we didn't get anywhere. That was one of the bills that died also. Because you are split between those two different categories of schools, some of them that will benefit and some that won't. I do have a list of the schools in my district, and most of them lost a little bit of money with the current funding formula that we have in place right now. The thing is, you make changes, and some schools benefit and some don't. So you can't make everybody happy with anything I've seen in the funding formula.
How much did social issues play a factor in what went on in Jefferson City this year?
Not a whole lot. Maybe a couple bills was all I can, maybe just one, was all that I could think of. But I'd say it's taken a backseat to the economy, really.
One of the other issues that I think brought up in a couple of pieces of legislation is actually federal legislation. There was action on the health care reform law at the federal level going before the Supreme Court. What did Missouri lawmakers end up doing in regards to the federal health care?
That we would not allow anything to be implemented in Missouri without legislative approval is what we did here in Missouri.
In terms of your own, you mentioned early on your veterans bill. Any other pieces of legislation that you personally pushed that made it through this year, or maybe something that didn't get through that you wanted through?
Well, I have another ag bill, an ag bill, and actually it was my vice chairman in the Senate committee that it was his bill this year that'll let get through. It is actually the only ag bill that got through this year, and I certainly hope the governor does sign it. And then I also worked very hard on a couple of Second Amendment bills. One was actually mine, and one was a House bill that I carried in the Senate, and I do hope the governor signs it also. There was one piece of legislation that I worked on this year. It was in one of the other ag bills that died in a conference committee. I really wanted it to get through, but like I say, it died. It deals with youthful employment and agricultural production. As we can all look back at what the U.S. Department of Labor tried to do to kids working on farms, basically just saying you can't do it. I had my staff check into what Missouri allowed. We had no exemptions for agriculture at all. After visiting with the Department of Labor, says, we don't want to be involved in that. We know what agriculture is about, and I'm fortunate Missouri does still realize that. They don't want to be out there policing that, the families, the neighbors' kids helping put up hay and things like that. So I worked with the Department of Labor, the Department of Agriculture, and the governor's office to get a bill on that, but like I say, it was actually in an omnibus ag bill that died. So that will be my major ag priority for next year, is to get that through.
What was the one ag that did get through that you were...
It changed the grain dealer license. It had a provision in there that I know Bob Barker came out against. If you actually film animal abuse or neglect, you have to turn it into the proper authorities within 24 hours, uncut, unedited. And Bob Barker came out against that. Well, you know, a lot of times we've seen these video clips after they've been edited and cut and held for some times, 30, 60, even 90 days, till they could call a big press conference. Well, these activist groups use those to raise money. Well, okay, what are they really after? Raising money or stopping animal abuse or neglect? And actually, this bill was patterned after our child abuse laws. So it was really hard for anybody to argue against, and I really think it could go a long way into stopping animal abuse or neglect.
As we draw a close here, any major issue that didn't even come up this year that surprised you?
I can't think of it. I've been so wrapped up in everything else that just glad to see what we did get done. And like I said, earlier this year, I didn't know if we were going to get much done at all. But ended up being a pretty average session.
Anything, any need for special session, or is it just kind of get ready for next year?
I can't think of anything, and we've talked about that. I think we pretty much got what needed to be done off the table. Unless something comes up that as the governor goes to sign bills, you know, he reviews them very closely. If there's any changes that needed to be made in any of those bills that we did get through, we do have veto session in September. I'm sure that hopefully he will wait till then to do a special if we have to, hold him concurrent. But right now, nobody has mentioned anything that we need to be going back into special immediately for.